But I was up at the Book Tree in Montclair, and David up there, as I said, I like the local bookstores. And I picked up a copy of the Brian Kenny book, Raph. Have you seen him? Justin, you know Brian Kenny. You know, he's a sabermetrician. He's on MLB Network, and he fights with everybody. The book is called Ahead of the Curve, Inside the Baseball Revolution. It's terrific. It really is. Once you understand that everything he bases his discussion is war, you know, once you, that's it. You know, forget numbers of stats and OPS and everything else. For him, it's war. That's the deal. But he has great, it's like a Bill James book of the 80s, where he takes on the Hall of Fame, makes a compelling argument for Keith Hernandez to be a Hall of Famer. So that book is up there. And another one about John McGraw, a legendary Giants manager of one of his great seasons. So it's called Stealing Bases, but that's up at the Book Tree in Montclair. And see David up there. He does a really nice job. And I'm sure Jerry's book is up there as well. It's called Leaning on the Ark. So we welcome Jerry Schwartz back to the show today. How are you?
How are you?
I threw a fastball already, and you're not there?
I thought that was a curveball.
Yeah, that was the curve. Nice to have you on the show, as I told everybody. Before we get to your book, your baseball roots, and it goes back a long way. And when I first met you, you carried around a newspaper article that was very interesting. You want to share that one with the fans?
Sure. My dad was, although I grew up in Pennsylvania, my dad was from Brooklyn. My mother was from the Bronx. And my dad was an incredible Brooklyn Dodger fan. He lived and died by the Dodgers. And just so folks know, I'm a Giants fan. The Brooklyn Dodgers bear no resemblance to the LA Dodgers. It was a different world. And my dad would travel from Pennsylvania to New York to go to the World Series when the Dodgers were in it. And when they lost in 1972, my dad owned a pants factory.
1952.
In 1952. And he drove back through the Pocono Mountains, 5+ hours. And he went to his factory the next day to open it up and at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there were about 100, 150 people there. These Yankee fans who lived next door, or had a gas station next door, had organized a mock funeral where they had a Brooklyn Dodger, a dummy with a Brooklyn Dodger uniform on. They had a priest there, even though we were Jewish. They had a coffin. They had a ceremony. They had pallbearers. They had a casket. They had a hearse. And they took the dummy out to a cemetery and they buried it.
Okay.
Gave you an idea of what kind of Brooklyn Dodger fan he was.
I love it. All right. Jerry Schwartzbeck is with us. Now, you and I shared a game together that, you know, I do these great games in Giants history. And you and I went to the Mike Ivey Grand Slam home run game together.
We did indeed. I think that was 78.
Yeah. Yeah. 1978. Yeah. And I remember sitting sort of in, I don't know, the upper deck in right field. And one of the great moments of Giants history in that game, to see Ivy hit the Grand Slam, the place went nuts.
Yeah, it was exciting. As you well know, we used to play a lot of softball together, both in lawyers' leagues, and then you organized a tournament team. But then you and I would go to ball games after playing softball. And it was great fun.
I tell everybody about the beret. Did I wear the beret when I pitched? When you were...
You did wear the beret. I didn't know if you were from Brooklyn, Miami, or Paris, frankly.
All right. Jerry Schwartzbeck is with us. It's his story, and it's called Leaning on the Ark. And, you know, I practiced criminal law for 25 years as well. But in going through some of the stories, it brought back so many memories for me. But it made me think of how prepared you are. You're one of the most prepared lawyers in the history of law in California. And it reminded me a little bit of the general managers, of what they've got to put up with today and all the information. So you see a parallel at all with that and getting ready for a trial?
Well, I think you do. I think that, as you well know, if you're preparing for a trial, you investigate everything. You want to know everything. You want to think about what your adversary is thinking. You want all the information you could possibly get, so that I assume the good general managers do the same thing, and so that whenever it comes the time for you to exercise your judgment, the judgment you exercise is well informed, and so then you can live with the results as long as you've done everything you can to prepare for that moment when you have to make the call.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. It made me think of the scouting reports for the World Series, of knowing what your opponent's going to do and the tendencies and all that. And you're a criminal lawyer. I guess you have to know that when you go against a certain adversary on the other side.
Yeah, you just try to think of everything. You try to put yourself in your adversary's position. I would think that that's true in sports as well as, you know, if you're managing, as well as, you know, as well as law. Even if you're a player, you know, you want to know about if you're a batter, you know, you want to know what the pitcher's tendencies are, what he tends to throw in certain situations, so you can try to look for it.
Very good. The book is Leaning on the Arc. And what prompted the book? And, of course, you've been involved in many major criminal trials. Robert Blake, of course, we know that one. But what prompted you to sit down and explain what you go through and what the criminal justice system is all about? And with your wonderful baseball background, I will tell everybody, he was a nice center fielder. And you had a wooden bat. Remember when everyone had a metal bat?
I did. I had a thin wooden bat.
Everyone had a metal bat.
You gave me grief for years about that bat.
Absolutely. But, you know, everyone else had the metal bat. You had a wooden bat.
That's right. Well, Marty, since 1989, there have been 1,859 wrongfully convicted people who have been exonerated. And Lord knows how many people have been wrongfully convicted and never exonerated. 156 of those people were on death row. So I wanted to write a book about the importance of the role of criminal defense lawyers in the criminal justice system. We're generally viewed very unfavorably. Everybody knows that. But the fact of the matter is the system can't work, and you don't have a chance at achieving justice unless you have people on both sides of the adversarial divide that are doing their job. And so that was a major motivation for me. And also I believe there's this tendency in the legal system to objectify human beings, because it's a lot easier to throw out garbage than it is to lock up or execute a human being. And so I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about what it was like to be a criminal defense lawyer, not just as a lawyer, but as a person, and its effect on you and your family. And then tell true stories of cases that I've been involved in that I hope help demonstrate the message I was trying to communicate.
Oh, it's wonderful. I really enjoyed it, and I know many of the cases you're involved in. But you and I go back a long way. And
you were at my wedding.
That's correct, boy. And Micah, your son. I gave you Evan's crib for Micah. How about that?
we were original charter seat members at the new stadium, and there's a brick out there that has Susan, Micah, and my name on it.
Beautiful.
And Micah, now my son, has taken his son Jeremiah to ball games. Yeah, so it's a tradition. We're very loyal San Francisco Giant fans.
Oh, very good, and good man, and you touched my heart with the book because it's something I did, but we both have that baseball connection, which sort of balanced our lives to some degree, and we played a lot of ball together. What do you think about this ball club? Let me switch subjects for a minute here. And, 4-15, it's August. Everyone's all nuts about it. Can they ever straighten it out? What do you think?
Well, I'll admit something now that I would never have admitted years ago when we played ball together. You know more about baseball than I do. So when the trades were made recently, I asked you what you thought, and I know you said you thought that the Giants were stronger, but the price of doing business is higher these days, and that's my sense. It's they're going through a tough stretch, but it's a long season. Their pitching is better than it's been recently. The defense is hurt a bit. They're just going through a bad time. They've been known for it to be a very good defense team, playing in a pitcher's ballpark. So obviously, I hope, I'm going to be 72 this year, but I have trouble sleeping when they lose.
We love, really, for both of us, baseball was a real balance in our lives. We played a lot of ball together. The book is Leaning on the Arc. It's a beautiful story of Jerry's life and the tough cases he's had. But the heart of the baseball fan, you can feel when you read it. So I'm glad to have you on. And I love seeing you at the park.
One thing, Marty, you know, the first photograph, if you recall, the first photograph in the photo instead of the book is of me at bat in a college baseball game. And I was really glad that they didn't have a wider angle because it looked like I hit the ball well. If they showed the catcher, they probably would have shown the ball in the catcher's mitt.
I will tell you this. I'm looking at the picture. You played at Washington and Jefferson College, but you have a little bit of the Joe Panic swing. You got that nice flat swing.
I wish I had his money.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thanks for having me on, Marty.
A pleasure. All right.
Thanks, Jerry. You take care. All bye-bye.
Right. Very good. All right. Leaning on the Ark is the book, and a good friend, and played a lot of ball together, I want to tell you. We really did, and I know how hard he worked. I did this life for 25 years, so I think you'll enjoy it. It's interesting. So you go up to the Book Tree in Montclair. You can get it there, of course, any of the other local outlets on the Internet.